This is the Build Your Network podcast, episode 391.
Hey, this is Mike Young, the Makeover Master. And if you want to ignite your relationships, you should be listening to Build Your Network with my good friend, Travis Chappell.
Welcome to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I chat with some of the world's top business influencers, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs in order to crack the code of networking. I believe that who you know is more important than what you know, and that your relationships ultimately determine the person that you become. So if you want to learn the new way of connecting, if you want to fill your network with quality people and skyrocket your results, then you're in the right place, because this is the Build Your Network podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Network podcast. I'm your host, Travis Chappell, and I'm here today with my buddy, Mike Young. Mike is the founder of The Makeover Master, host of the top-rated Made Over podcast, author of Made Over, How to Create a Powerful Brand That Will Transform Your Business and Save Your Life. And he's a seasoned entrepreneur, having spent over $200,000 buying every book and course he could afford, traveling to every seminar and event imaginable, trying to get his business to work. He's now the creator of the Starter Pack Makeover Business System as part of what he considers his life work and duty to help others avoid all of the things that we just talked about. So I can't wait to get in this conversation with Mike and chat with him about some of these things. But first, really quickly, if you're a six or seven figure business owner, you're listening to this right now, and you have a desire to have a podcast, you understand the power of building your authority in your niche, increasing your know, like, and trust with your ideal clients, building a long-term audience, whatever your goal is, you understand that it's important to have a show, but maybe you just don't have the time or resources or team or knowledge to be able to get it done. Well, that is where me and my team come in. Head on over to travischappell.com/makemypodcast to learn a little bit more about what we can do for you and for your business in terms of starting a show. We basically take out all of the guesswork so that all you have to do is show up and record on a microphone that we told you to buy. So we take out all of the guesswork and make it super, super easy for you to get a show out into the world to help you with your business development and relationship building in your business. So travischappell.com/makemypodcast. Mike, what's up, bro? Good to have you on the show.
Travis, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to this.
Yes, sir. So let's go take it back, man. Take it back. Build some context for everybody that's listening and go all the way back to the beginning here. Talk to me about, seventh, eighth grade Mike. What were you up to at that point? What were you
doing? Taking it all the way back, I think in elementary school and stuff, honestly, I was always designed to be a mentor, a coach, a guide. I always wanted to help other people. I've got a massively empathetic heart and would help people, like new students would come into the school. I'd help show them to the first classes and stuff. I kind of had a role there. I always thought I was going to play professional baseball, very one track mind growing up. Mm. And up until, the time I was 21, 22, I really just thought I was going to play pro ball. I got into my college career and kind of recognized about my senior year that was not going to be a dream that was going to actually happen for me. And so I kind of left college, I went through the traditional path. I went through, you go to high school, you go to college, you get a job, you start your own company, you buy a big house, you buy fancy cars, and you get a wife and two kids. And I went through all that and found myself in 2007, 2008 in a place where, I would just call it today. I would call it, I was miserable and say, I had all the stuff that everybody told me that you should have, and I wasn't happy. And yeah. So that was interesting to kind of put it all together and not be happy.
Yeah. That's super, super interesting. And I find that it's something that happens to people probably way more often than the amount that actually take action, do something different like you did. So walk me through that process, bro, because I literally just hopped off an interview with a guy and we were talking about this exact thing. We're talking about how as life continues and you get further and further along, that it becomes more and more difficult to walk away from what you don't like to pursue something that you do like in hopes that it's going to work out. And so that sounds like basically what you did. So can you talk me through that decision-making process? Was it a pretty difficult decision to come to?
I actually, it's funny, and we can touch on this too, but it's like your gut and your body already instantly knows the answers to certain things. Like you're like, do you want to do that or not? and you like get this deep sigh or this, I don't know, you know, like in your tone of voice tells you instantly, you don't actually want to be doing this thing, but it's about getting in touch with that and actually listening. And you can save yourself so much headache if you're kind of in touch with your feelings there. I feel like I went down the easiest possible path, which was, it was fairly forced upon me. I could see that I had built a mortgage company with six friends to 250 employees and 10 offices from scratch. I was getting a couple hundred emails a day. I was in charge of the sales and the marketing, and I could see the writing on the wall that this thing was about to, like, we were highly leveraged.
Yeah.
And money was going backwards. I was dumping more and more money into the company. And then the 2008 crash hit. And it just took, it took that to kind of force my hand. Already not happy, not feeling like this was my thing long term. But I went from liquid millionaire to $200,000 in debt in less than 6 months.
Yeah.
And found myself in a home office saying, oh shit, what do I do next?
Yeah. So the best / worst thing that could have happened, basically.
That's how it feels today. It felt miserable at the time.
Yeah.
I'm grateful today, but it is one of those things. It's kind of like when you fire an employee and then you see like, oh gosh, that was actually the right move. I should have done that 6 months ago. And that was, that was similar to that. It was something I probably should have done a year or two before that. But the market helped course correct for me.
Yeah. I love that you bring that up, Mike, because, it really just proves the point that nothing is ever really safe. You know what I mean? Like we're raised to believe that this certain path is safe, that if you work hard in school and you get good grades and you go to a good college and you come out and you get a good job and you get your 401k, that you just got to like keep doing that. And like, that's the safe route and it'll always work out. And we've just seen time and time again with so many examples of where outside circumstances completely out of that person's control come in and take away everything that you've built, even though you did all the quote unquote safe things. And all of that to say this: if you want to go that route, then please do it. But if you're just doing it to please everybody else, then you may as well just try to do the thing that you really want to do, because nothing is really safe. It's just like, would you rather do something that you enjoy, or would you rather do something that you don't enjoy? The safe thing is, especially now, just becoming more and more non-existent.
Yeah, you know, and to speak on that, is the safe route. And entrepreneurship is weird when you really get into it. It can be a very difficult and lonely road.
Yeah.
There's a book that I was recommended back when I was really struggling in 2008, 9, 10, to just process what had just happened to me, called Fooled by Randomness. But it just essentially talks about all of our biases, how we collect information. And so I was collecting the best amount of information I could from the marketplace as what was going on. But the reality was I was wildly out of control of dictating what the global financial system was going to do at that time. So you're never really in control. And as you go down that path, you, especially when things aren't working as an entrepreneur, your closest family and friends want exactly what you just mentioned. They want safety for you. So sometimes their advice is actually terrible advice, because they say things like, well, maybe it's time you just get a job, or maybe you should get the 401k and the bank job and the gold watch and all these things. Maybe it's time to quit. Well, if you're wired like I am, that literally would have killed me, like killed my spirit of who I was, to go get a job. And their advice is designed to protect you and keep you safe, because they care about you.
Right.
But it's oftentimes not very good entrepreneurial advice. And exactly. there's shortcuts to that process where you don't have to go down a lonely road.
Yeah, you got to learn at some point that you can only take advice from people who you would want to trade places with. And only in that vertical, right? Like I say that sometimes, people are like, well, I don't want to trade lives with anybody. And I'm like, okay, That's not what I mean. I mean, that if you're going to get entrepreneurial advice, it better be from somebody who succeeded in the thing that you're trying to succeed in. It better be from a successful entrepreneur and not from a mom or dad that just loves you, because love does not equal good advice.
Like before you started the podcast and you talk about what you help people with, which is helping people, you know, start their podcast and launch their podcast and kind of a done for you service. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you want to work with somebody that's done it before, or do you want to work with somebody that's never done it once? And it's only hire people that have done what you're trying to do and done it successfully.
Yeah. And it's astounding how many people will take advice even around something like a podcast from all their family members and friends who've never podcasted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll have all these preconceived notions when they come to me that like, oh, podcasting doesn't work and it's expensive and you don't make any money off of it and it's just a money pit and like all these different things. And it's just like, well, who told you that? Right.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I have this friend who started a podcast and it didn't go very well. Okay. So you're taking advice from the one person that you shouldn't be taking advice from.
Exactly. And then you get behind the scenes and you get help from somebody that knows what they're talking about and you find out, oh, this is cool. I need a microphone. Right. And I interview people and ask questions and drop it in this folder and the rest is done for me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like it's this weird thing where people just feel like everybody is allowed to give them advice. And sure, everybody can give you advice, but just make sure that you're cautious on whose advice you actually implement.
Yeah. And I think that's a natural part of the process now. Partially confidence and partially clarity. Like if you're very, very clear of what you're going for and you're confident in yourself that you're going to get there, at some point you hit the tipping point where you realize like, hey, mom's not going to give me the best advice here. And so you stop listening.
Right. Right. And maybe about being a good parent, that might be some advice that you want to take from your mom or dad, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever they've done well in life, take advice from them there. But yeah, like, you know, if they've been working jobs their whole life and you want to be an entrepreneur, then they're probably going to give you all of the advice about not becoming an entrepreneur because that's unsafe and stuff like that.
100%. I have actually something that I call my entrepreneurial chessboard, but it's 12 really good friends that I can pick up the phone at any time, and they all have strengths and weaknesses just like I do. Mm. But they're strong in areas where I'm weak and I'm strong in areas where they're weak. And we have the ability to answer each other's questions, you know, and speed that process up. But the people I take copywriting advice and maybe positioning advice from, because we're all too close to our brands or business, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You can't see the forest through the trees for yourself. And the people I take copywriting advice from, I would never take parenting advice from, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's every piece. Like if you want to trade places with that person in that area, then like if they've done a good job, then you take advice from them. Otherwise, you know, even if it's coming from a good place, it's probably not the best advice that you should be listening to.
100%.
Okay. So you are running this mortgage business. It obviously goes south in 2008. It's never a good position to go from having a lot of money to a little bit of money. But when you go from having a lot of money to being in debt and having your business that business as a whole, that entire industry was smacked, right? It wasn't just like a bad decision that you had made. It was like years of these crazy high up banking decisions that totally screwed over that entire industry, where you had all these like new rules like TILA and RESPA and all these other mortgage rules that came into effect and just completely changed the entire face of the industry. What do you do at that point? Are you like, okay, well, this happened, it sucks, but you know, maybe I'm finally freed up to do something that I enjoy? Or was your first instinct to be like, I gotta go get another job in the mortgage business, 'cause that's what I'm good at?
Yeah. I'll tell you what I did. And I'm not saying this is right. It's just what I did in my path. I knew I wasn't going back to the mortgage business. I'd made up my mind. I was crystal clear. My son was 1 year old at the time. I said, I'm going to go after what I consider everybody like has this entrepreneurial dream. You know, I wanted less employees, less email. I wanted automated money to show up in my bank account. I wanted the dream. And I thought delusionally that it was going to be easy, because I felt like I just built something with 10 offices, 250 employees, and all this complexity. To do it again on my own with one or two employees, this should be fast and easy. Hmm. And so I knew I wasn't going back. I ripped the Band-Aid off and said, that was kind of my line in the sand. I'm not going to go back and get a job. I just didn't realize it was going to take me another 8.5 years and a couple $100,000 before it all kind of clicked and came together.
Okay, so this one has been a long time coming, and I'm excited to announce the launch of my new company, World Class Media. I've been doing podcast coaching and consulting for individuals and businesses for the last couple of years, and over the last few months, I just haven't been able to keep up with the requests. So in order to serve more people, I've decided to stop taking on coaching clients and start an agency that creates a done-for-you podcasting solution, as well as monthly production and repurposing services. So if you are a business owner, coach, consultant, entrepreneur, real estate investor, whatever it may be, then a podcast should be the most powerful business development tool in your arsenal. Imagine having something that is constantly engaging your ideal client, even when you're sleeping, or that allows you to connect with the top people in your industry to build your network and establish credibility, or that allows you to help listeners that are currently outside of your sphere of influence, or that helps you get book deals or speak on more stages or create content once that we can repurpose and distribute across all the platforms for you. That is the power of a world-class podcast that's done the right way. So if you're interested in starting a show, but you just don't have the time, the resources, or desire to figure out all the tech stuff, the hosting, the equipment, the platforms, the production, then you just focus on what you do best, which is serving your clients and running your business. And then let my team focus on what we do best, which is creating world-class chart-topping podcasts. Let's at least hop on a call and chat about it, because I'm fairly picky with the people that I work with. And I only work with people who I genuinely think are going to be able to absolutely crush it with a new show. So head over to travischappell.com/make my podcast. That's travischappell.com/make my podcast. And we'll chat real soon. So what were you doing for income during that time?
So in the beginning, we started with an entrepreneurial venture that it was me and one other of my friends. We borrowed investor money, and we borrowed enough investor money that we thought it was going to take us through probably 2 years to see the project off the ground. We ran out of money within about 6 months. And what happened to me was I spent the next better part of the next 2 or 3 years deeply depressed and ashamed. I blamed the mortgage failure on myself, even though I know now it was out of my control. The entrepreneurial experience, that's what really killed my confidence and really affected me psychologically, was we took on other people's hard-earned money. They believed in us. They believed in the project. And it wasn't successful. So I just felt like it was okay to lose my own money, but losing other people's money just really wrecked me psychologically. And it took me 2010, 11, 12, 13 to really get to a place where I began truly digging out of just a shameful downward spiral mentally.
And was that business that you lost that money in, was that similar to the one that you're doing now, or was a completely different venture and then you just kind of went a different direction after that?
Completely different. I remember running into, like, in 2008, I remember running into like Digital Marketer, which wasn't even Digital Marketer at the time. It was like Ryan Dice's original $1 million napkin opt-in, you know? And so I kind of started going down that rabbit hole of like, let me learn from somebody who's been there before and let me learn how this online game works and all that stuff. I was blessed to stay optimistic that I could figure it out. Also part of my curse, because I was trying to figure it out on my own. And I was the guy that wasn't asking for gas, you know, directions at the gas station. I was just driving around, and when I hit a dead end, okay, that didn't work. Let me course correct.
Yeah.
And so I began in 2011 through 14. I had a different business partner, and we built like 50 different business ideas together between 2010, 2011, 2012. Well, about 47 of them didn't work. There were three that worked actually really well and making good money, you know, or what I considered to be good money at the time. I was basically behind the scenes making a couple hundred grand a year. And every surplus of money, I was taking that and I was going to events, seminars, lead pages, Infusionsoft, buying all this software.
Yeah.
So from 11 through 14, I was making decent money and I was dumping it all back into my self-education.
Yeah.
And so that's where the couple hundred grand in courses came from is I was every month I was spending $2,000 to $4,000 to buy a course or go to an event or a seminar.
Yeah. What do you think, what do you think was valuable during that time? And what do you think was not valuable during that time?
Valuable. I now today find myself with a massively wide range of not only knowledge, but how the whole thing ties together. And I also understand the emotions that are within each stage of the entrepreneurial game. I know how people feel when they come to me and they say, I've been trying this for a year and here's my software and whatever. I know how to log into ClickFunnels or Infusionsoft or ActiveCampaign because I bought it all.
Yeah.
So that's the valuable part is I have a ton of knowledge and I know how each stage feels. If I could go back, I'm not sure I would change anything. I like where I'm at today and I see it all tying together in some weird, awkward way.
Yeah.
But it didn't have to take that long and it didn't have to be nearly that expensive. If I would have gotten clarity on day one, what I was trying to build and just hired somebody that had already done that and hired them as a coach or a mentor, I would have massively shortcut my learning curve.
Yeah. I love that you said that you wouldn't go back and change anything because a lot of people listening are thinking like, man, $200,000 is a lot of money. Should have put that there, done this with that. And I have this kind of debate in my head and with people sometimes on how much self-investment is too much self-investment, you know? And I'm still not convinced that there's a too much option. I think that you should be selective on what you do, you know, purchase or join or partner with or whatever, just in terms of, you know, your name, your reputation, and being a wise steward of the money that you have. But I will say that of the people that I know that are extremely successful, the majority of them invest in themselves at the highest level. And that's why they're as successful as they are, because it's about almost building that habit that says that I'm worth this risk, right? Like, I know, you know, even if it's something like, okay, I see this ad for this course, it's $500. Like, will I even go through the videos if I buy it? I don't know, but I know 100% for sure I won't go through them if I don't buy it. And then if I buy it and then I learn one thing that helps me, it's $500.
Yeah.
Like, I just made that back plus some, significantly more if I learned one thing. You know, and I found value in just the building the habit of continuously investing into myself, because it reinforces the belief in my own mind that I'm somebody worth investing in, if that makes sense. I don't know if that sounds kind of hocus
pocus. No, I 100% agree with that. It's every decision was like this bet on yourself, so to speak.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, exactly. I'm betting on myself. I believe in myself. I believe this is going to work.
Exactly.
But one thing I would say in hindsight that I thought about as you were talking was, why are you investing in this course? And for me, the one thing I wish I would have discovered sooner was it was actually a mask. It was a mask for me. I just failed in the mortgage thing. I'd failed in my first entrepreneurial thing. The courses were actually a way for me not to take action in the marketplace, because God knows if I take action again, I might fail on my, you know, fall on my face again.
Yep.
And so I wish I would have recognized that a little bit sooner, but I was actually just talking to a friend about this the other day. I was like, the times where it was the most pain I've ever felt in entrepreneurship, the times where so many entrepreneurs, I think, at least online, you get that perception that everybody's doing well and I'm the only one struggling to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite. It's most are struggling trying to figure it out and there's very few doing well.
Right.
And so I think the darkest times and the times that were like truly depressing, want to pull your hair out, want to quit, you know, I've had moments where just like in tears, you know, And those are the stories that people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. But every really, really dark moment, I'm super grateful for, because it was those moments that were right before like these major breakthroughs in my journey.
Yeah. And the struggle is really what allows you to have the breakthrough.
Yeah. Right?
If there's no struggle, there's no breakthrough. If there's no discomfort, there's no growth, right? It's one and the same. They come with each other.
Yeah. And the biggest ones are extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah. I hear that. I was the last year investing in this mastermind that I'm in, that was 100K, was one of those just giant things where it was just like, oh my goodness, I hope this works out. You know, talk about betting on yourself though. You know what I mean? Like the level of betting on yourself with something like that is like, I am 100% all in on this, you know, like there's no convincing me otherwise at this point.
100%.
So talk to me now about how you found what you're doing now. So you said you had a couple businesses that were doing fairly well. You started investing yourself like crazy. What happened after that?
Yeah, the one that was doing fairly well was, I had a business partner who loved to be the sales guy and he loved to coach people. I was actually behind the scenes support, figuring out how to develop web pages and do some branding work and make things look pretty and a lot of CRM automation type of work. Mm-hmm. And he decided to take a consulting job and he just said, hey, I want to take this opportunity. I said, that's great, because I feel like it's time for me to put myself back out there, stop hiding behind the scenes. And I said, so if you're going to do that, I'm going to go all into where I'm getting the most energy. And for me at the time, it was around website development, branding, logos, you know, that type of stuff. I had a designer I really enjoyed working with. And I knew that there was a bigger picture at play. I knew I was trying to circle back around where I was coaching and consulting and advising on strategy. But I had to go through that journey just to circle back around and build my own knowledge and skill set to the point where I felt, I wouldn't say confident, but felt like, okay, now I can really, I can sit down with somebody in 90 minutes and completely change, you know, what they're thinking is important and revolutionize like somebody's business with a strategy. I couldn't do that 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I had to build my own skills and character and everything else along that way. And so it just kind of kept morphing in from, it went from logos and branding and design to websites to where it's at today, which is now I primarily deal with consulting and coaching and mentoring on strategy. Okay. And we help businesses that are stuck. They're too close to their own problems. They can't figure out why they're stuck. We give them a strategy that they can execute on. And then if there's branding help or they need a website later, we still do that stuff, but only after the business is working.
Got it. So you are mainly doing consulting now.
That's it. I have a package. I took everything I wish I had in 2008. And I said, how would I redesign this? Knowing what I know now, how would I help my 2008 version?
Yeah.
And so I took, like, I bought all these courses, right? Marie Forleo and Amy Porterfield and Russell Brunson and Don Miller, all these courses. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever gave me one-on-one specific advice based on my situation. It was buy the course, here's your knowledge. Yeah. And then if you have questions, you know, we'll answer a question from time to time with our vault.
Right.
And so I basically said, you know, I would have really sped my process up if I got like an hour or maybe 2 hours in the beginning with that specific person.
Yeah.
And so we essentially have a course in a business system that gets one-on-one time with me. We develop a strategy that they can execute on. There's some recorded trainings, but the intent with the recorded trainings for me is how few can I give you to pull the biggest levers, to knock down the biggest dominoes. And then we do a little bit of branding help as far as that package goes. If there's, you know, social media that needs to be involved or a lead magnet that's not created yet, we'll help make everything look pretty.
Gotcha.
And then ongoing support and our support's a little bit different than a traditional course is, you ask a question based on your specific situation and where you're stuck. and we answer it directly. And so it's not like these cookie cutter answers on, you know, here's how you put together your lead magnet. It's more like, here's exactly where I'm stuck. And we answer those questions directly in video.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool. So, talk to me now about the relationship side of this. So this is Build Your Network. Obviously we talk a lot about relationship building and connections and things. And throughout this whole conversation, you've been talking about, you know, business partner, that business partner, this, if I could have gotten somebody at the beginning to walk me through the process, I would have just like shortcutted the whole thing. Like, talk to me about the importance of building quality relationships.
Well, at some point I recognized that all business happens through people and all money comes into your business from other people's bank accounts. So that was actually a huge part of the reason it took me so long. When I would go to conferences and seminars and events, I wasn't connecting with people. I was there to consume knowledge and information. And now if I go to an event now, it's all about the connections. It's all about the relationships. And so I was actually skipping the one required step, which is if you're going to run a business, you need to bump into a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you need to realize that the fastest way to have your business succeed is to help people solve a specific problem with your specific solution and charge them money that they're glad to give you for that solution.
Yeah.
And so I was skipping that. And now, I mean, it's all about the people. It's, if I have a client, or let's not even take a client. Let's just say I have a sales call. I had a sales call yesterday with a guy, and I just said, "What's your specific problem? Where are you at? What are your questions?" And I said on the call, I said, "You know what? You do need help, but you actually don't need my help. You need help from this person in this way." And so you got to care about the people enough to stop trying to sell them every time you meet with them, and just say, "Tell me what's going on and how can I help you?" And sometimes the answer is, I'm not the best solution. If somebody came to me today and said, "I want to start a podcast," I can think of four people off the top of my head that are wildly more qualified than me.
Yeah.
And you just got to be able to kind of recognize your strengths and weaknesses and stay in your lane.
So tell me this, Mike, who you know or what you know, which one of the two is more important?
Easy answer. I don't even know why I hesitated that long. It's who you know.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because I know a lot of stuff and I knew a lot of stuff for almost a decade. My business still wasn't working, you know, for a period of time. So it's not about, you can have as much drive and motivation and as much knowledge inside in between your ears as possible. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have success as a business owner until you connect the dots to, like we talked about, specific problems, specific solution, and a specific way that you deliver that.
Yeah, there's a book that I'm reading right now where that talks about, you know, everybody's always talking about if they're in B2B or B2C, but ultimately we're all in H2H, which is human to human business. That is all every single one of us is. And so if we don't focus on those relationships, we don't have those connections, you know, like you said, you could be the best and most quality service or company in your entire industry, but you know, the ones that are at the top of the game, the ones with all the connections, the ones with all the opportunities.
And I would say, like, to try and, you know, add value to anybody listening to this podcast, there are shortcuts. You've already mentioned one of them. One is get clear on what you want, find somebody that's already done it and work with them to, you know, speed up your learning curve. The shortcuts to the game there's shortcuts to the game on building connections. There's shortcuts to the game, but you're exactly right. It's like at the end of the day, one of the ultimate shortcuts is to really start studying human beings and psychology and sociology and how do humans work? Because if you understand how human beings work and the real reasons we buy things, it's a hell of a lot easier to build a business and sell people stuff.
So true, man. Well, look, I know we gotta get running here. Where can listeners find you? Where's the place that you hang out the most?
I hang out the most at my house, but people can find me. TheMakeoverMaster.com is our website. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram at Mike Young Makeovers. you can find me there, and I'm glad to help anybody that's stuck if they want to reach out and connect.
Sweet. So the makeovermaster.com, is that right?
You got it.
The makeovermaster.com. Make sure to reach out, say what's up to Mike over there. Tell him that you enjoyed the show and ask about potentially him coming on board to help you with your strategy for your business. I know that he's has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge and a lot of connections in this arena. So definitely reach out to Mike and say what's up. Mike, thanks so much for coming to the show today, brother. I had a fantastic time chatting with you. Well, that's it for today's show. If you want more advanced networking strategies as well as an instant network upgrade, then consider partnering with my BYN Inner Circle Mastermind. There are already dozens of high quality entrepreneurs in the group. There's dozens of video lessons on networking. There's monthly calls, there's accountability crews, and more, all for the low investment of just $99 a month. So head over to BYNinnerCircle.com to jump in. That's BYNinnerCircle.com. Thanks so much for joining us on today's show. See you next time. Remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.